On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, garden beans, Kentucky protests, Taylor Swift, cookies, and defamation.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
I've been doing hillbilly things out on the street.
What were you doing?
I hillbillied it up.
Were you chewing tobacco and spitting on the street, you jerk?
Close. The fine streets of Hazard, I was stringing beans.
I bet you got funny looks.
I'm sure I did.
That's
it's pretty country, right?
It is pretty country. And for some reason, people are fascinated when you're prepping food outside.
String beans or breaking beans? Which do you call it?
I call it string beans, but I think you just broke beans.
I just what?
Broke beans.
I broke and strung them.
Maybe.
Well, I tried.
You tried. I would have got my ass beat for that. Like, they would have just made me, like, absolutely string every piece of those beans again. Like, I would have been sent back to do it again.
I went to my dad's house way out in the country, and he's got his garden in full.
It's in full swing, isn't it?
And, you know, there is something about
growing your own food. There is something awesome about that.
There is. It's very primal. It has to be, because that's what obviously let us survive for the last 50,000 years, right?
Drive. It has to be, because, I mean, all those years I worked, I used to love having a little garden patch, and any place that I could have one, I did. And then for years I lived up the road from my folks and had like a little yard, and they used to make so much fun of me because I would come in from work and it'd be after dark, and I would park the car and put the headlights on the garden and like weed the garden at 10 o'clock at night.
There are so many of these country things that are really, you know, they're really at the root. One, they're necessary. I mean, if you're a hunter-gatherer, you have to eat. So, one, there's that. But,
yeah.
But you know what it's also tied into? I was thinking about out there. It's also tied into socialization. Like my grandmother, when she would, or my mom, or anybody, any of my family that ever grew beans.
Yep.
And you sit, after you pick them.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you pick them as a group.
Yeah.
Like maybe the guys go pick them, and the ladies are on the front porch waiting for you to get back with the beans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then you get back with the beans, the guys, and sometimes girls, but, you know.
Yeah, I used to have to go and pick
them. It was kind of guys
too.
And girls.
It was kind of a kid thing in my family, like picking beans. No adult wanted to do it, so you sent the kids.
I think with my family, as I think about it, my grandma had really severe osteoporosis. So her and maybe one or two other women didn't pick beans, but they waited on the porch for everybody else. So we all went and picked beans, brought them back, and then everybody sits on the porch and strings and breaks up beans.
Yeah.
That's the socialization part of it.
And it is a very social, everybody's talking and joking, because it's kind of mindless.
And you're doing something. Like, you're doing something productive, but you're also, oh, by the way, how's Uncle John doing? Oh, he's doing okay. He's battling his alcoholism as usual. Blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
And then you just gossip and talk about everything going on while you're stringing beans on the porch.
Yeah. Yeah. Stringing beans is a little event there, I think.
I bet a lot of people have no idea what we're even talking about.
I bet a lot of people get their beans out of a can or frozen or something like that. Like it, oh, folks, it's so much better when it comes out of the garden. Go to the farmer's market and get some green beans. Watch a YouTube video if you have to.
Get some neighbors to come over and help you string them and break them up. That's what we call them. Break them up. Well, break up beans.
We call them stringing beans. It was stringing, and it's not stringing.
It's stringing.
It's stringing.
That's right.
Stringing beans. And it's all one word.
You know, and that's what, like, quilting and things like that are, too.
Oh, yeah. Those were huge social events.
Sure. You get a sewing circle together. There's a reason that's a cliche, like gossiping like a sewing circle.
Because sometimes that was the only time they got together, though. Yeah, let's think about it. Like, men worked outside of the house, mm-hmm. and for the years that we're talking about, a lot of women, like, they worked, but they worked in the house, and it was lonely work and raising kids, and you know, they were the ones lots of times, you know, taking care of a coal furnace, a coal fire,
mm-hmm.
Preparing all the food, cleaning up all the food, sewing the clothes. So women worked hard.
You know, in my usual, I swear, if I have what, I wish I could just be satisfied. Like, I want to be,
uh-huh.
but like, even this situation, like, I find myself at times, like, wishing I was back in those days, even though I know good and well within an hour, I would be dying.
Yeah.
Like, not even an hour, and I'd be bored out of my gourd, or working. Or even if I'm working, I'd be bored working. So I don't really want it, but I think I want it. I'm like everybody else. I'm looking on it as romanticized whatever. Like what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't it seem simpler? And that's the thing. Everybody keeps saying a simpler time.
But, oh, my gosh. No.
But it would have been.
I know all the stories. I mean, I know some detailed history from my family, and it was rough.
Oh, I know it was.
It was so hard to just survive.
I don't really want it, like I said. I just want the parts like Little House on the Prairie parts. I don't want the...
It wasn't romanticized.
I don't want to beat your kids part, or the break your back in a mine when you're a teenager to feed your family. I don't want that.
No, that's no fun whatsoever.
I just want the showing up at the little dollar store, little general country store, and whatever shenanigans, whatever drama happens there.
I just got Chairman meowed a moment ago there. Sorry. If you hear me rattling around, like, she came over, wanted up on the chair. I had to move. She jumped in the chair, and then she walked across the chair.
So it's like a little highway.
Yeah, yeah. I was just Chairman meowed.
Well, so anyway. So, yeah, I want, I don't know. I kind of want a simpler life like that, but I really don't. I think I do, but I don't.
Well, that reminds me of something. Like, we used to go to Snowshoe
mm-hmm.
to get away from it all. And damn it, now we've got cell phone signal on Snowshoe. And I hate that.
Yeah, I have to admit, it does take a bit away from it.
I think we need to turn it the heck off. If we go back, and I mean, and it's kind of ruined it a little bit this last time for me. It wasn't as enjoyable. And I want us to promise right here, right now, if we go back, we got to turn the phones off, except for maybe an hour a day.
Okay. I was going to say,
I understand checking it every now and then, but we used to have to go all the way down to the village to check it, and now it's on in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone rings, and we're just as busy and working just as much when we're on vacation. And that sucks.
Yeah, we've got to guard against that. I was going to say, we need to check it at least once or twice a day just for emergency, literally for emergency. I know everybody's like, what kind of emergency? Chairman Meows don't have enough food, and their pet sitter's calling you.
No. Yeah, I just bought $50 worth of pet food today. She's got plenty.
No, but honestly, we have rental property, and like last weekend, we had a call from the local fire department that they had showed up from a fire alarm that happened in one of our buildings. So,
yeah,
you know, they call. So there is legitimate, like, halfway emergency situations that we need to.
You know, we leave stuff with people. You know, we have a pet sitter for the cat,
and right.
we have, you know, people who to keep an eye on things, and we have to trust them to do their job.
Yep, I got you. But once a day. I can check it once a day. You're all right with that, right?
All right. Then we can actually be on vacation instead of just working somewhere else. That's what it was, working somewhere else.
The other thing my dad's got going out there, speaking of all his, the beans were phenomenal. They're big pole beans. They're a foot long. They're delicious. Fresh apples.
Uh-huh.
Right off the tree. Golden delicious. Yellow delicious. He's got two or three kinds.
Yeah.
Squash. We got all kinds of squash
Some
over there.
Some kind of weird butternut squash one. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to fix that.
He's got jalapeno peppers, green peppers, banana peppers, chili peppers, all the peppers you could ever want.
What is his fascination with old men growing hot peppers?
I don't know. He loves them.
Does he eat them?
My dad, during a zombie apocalypse, he might survive.
He might.
If there was any person in their 80s that would survive, it'd be him.
Yeah.
Because he has enough guns, ammo.
Oh, yeah.
He's got enough food. He's got a moonshine still, so he could trade. You know, he could trade and barter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, he really could. There's a good possibility that he could. But I really want to get the what is with the old man and peppers? My Uncle Robert doesn't even eat peppers.
You know, my dad doesn't eat them much either.
He grows a ton.
My dad doesn't eat them much either. He dries them, and once in a while, he'll put them in chili and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Robert cans them or sells them by the bushel to people. But, I mean, evidently he just grows tons and tons and tons of hot peppers, and I'm like, okay.
No, I don't know. But there's just something about living out in the country, and I guess it's because I grew up out there in the country doing that. But I don't know. It is pretty damn cool just be able to walk out and get an apple that's warm from the sun. Right there off a tree. As much as you want, you couldn't eat them all in a year.
Well, you're an apple eater. That's for sure. You are. For me, it's not apples. I don't care for them that much. For me, I like the garden fresh tomatoes.
He's got all those you want. All you want. And, you know, he doesn't have a very big garden space. He plants little random things here and there, but I'm amazed how much he gets out of this stuff.
I mean, you take care of a garden, it can be the best garden I ever had was a freaking window box. It was about 8 foot long and about 2.5 feet deep, like to the wall there. And I just had one or two of, like I had two cucumber plants and three tomato plants and like two bean plants that went up like a telephone pole.
Yeah.
And I got tons of beans off of that. I got peppers out of that. I got green onions out of it, like, for ages. I mean, I just kept stuff coming out of this little window box that was meant for flowers. I had a full garden.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There's people, I guess, that have lived in cities all their life and have never experienced that, really. I mean, they might have went to a little farm to visit something on school farm day, but...
Yeah.
And there is just something, just getting back to it, there's something primal about it. It's really cool. I like going back to my dad's farm and just raiding that stuff. And, you know, it's good little family bonding.
Yeah.
You can pick beans together and do a few things without totally being at each other's throats. It's nice.
Have you noticed, too, that going back now, it seems so much smaller than it was when you were younger?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I mean, I went Uncle Robert's garden, which now it's Uncle Robert's, but years ago it was my grandfather's. And to me, that was a huge garden. I mean, it might as well have been one of those huge farms out west, you know, when you're a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you were all the way on the other side of the garden, you were out of the way. And, like, I was looking for him in the garden, and, you know, he bends over, and sometimes you can't find him. So I was, like, you know, just going down the rows, and it's like, wow, this is not that big.
Oh, well. We live in we've done a 180. I mean, we live in the city. I love it. I love the convenience of it, but... Man, you just can't have it all. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If I could just be satisfied.
We need a green roof.
If I moved out.
We need a green roof. It's a goal.
Maybe we could plow up a little section of some little parking lot we have and make our own damn garden or something.
No, because then we'd have bums in it, and they would be a bum commune. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, but we do have homeless people around here that... like, kind of have little tent cities and things like that. No, I really keep on this green roof thing. I think it's doable.
Well, we'll look into it. All right. Let me tell you what's not doable is these dumbasses, I don't know how else to put it, that are, well, let me just back up a little bit. We've got a solar eclipse coming. August 21st, across America, there's about a 70-mile wide swath that cuts right across America that's going to be total darkness, 100% solar eclipse.
Yay.
And part of that is in the western part of Kentucky. Hopkinsville, Bowling Green, all that kind of stuff. What are you looking at?
Well, I'm not completely sure that my microphone was completely on, but you could hear me in your earphones and all too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, just double checking.
Looks like it's working.
Well, it is now because I put it all the way on.
Well, we'll check. If not, then I'll beat you some more.
Yeah, because you're so abusive.
August 21st, there's a solar eclipse. Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky. There's several in the western part of Kentucky that's going to get the full whatever.
Yes, they're going to get.
They've been booked forever. Every state park in the path has been booked forever. Overflow, yeah. Every city has in that area that's going to get 100% is gearing up for.
Great tourism.
Yeah, towns that literally they're saying were 2,000 people. Towns, you know, like some of our towns around here, really.
Yeah,
they're gearing up for 20,000 people coming to town, like in RVs or staying the next town over and driving there the next, you know, because obviously there's not 20,000 beds in any of those towns.
Yeah, but I mean, they're merchants, they're vendors, yeah, you know, they're restaurants. Everybody is going to be slammed, but that's a good thing because this is unexpected revenue.
Well, you know who's not happy about it?
Just tell me.
You've got to hear this.
I know. You told me a little bit. I'm over here shaking my head.
You know, this is one of our love-hate relationships with our state.
Our area.
Like we just said, I love the gardening. I love the country stuff. I love people, good old country folks that... You know, old farmers that like to go fox hunting and all this stuff.
But we live in the stupidest state there is.
But here's the downside. stupidest.
I tried to make it sound really goofy. I did that on purpose. Stupidest.
Sure. Covered up now. Anyway, we have, I'm sure, some very fine... halfway intelligent or just straight out intelligent coal miners.
Absolutely.
Not every coal miner is a dirt to dirt, I can barely read and write kind of person.
But some of them are.
That's right. And more percentage than you would like to think. But it's true. Here is a group called Kentuckians for Coal. That sounds harmless enough. Mm-hmm. Kentuckians for Coal. It's almost like the PETA thing. Like they trick you. Like who could be... You know, people for ethical treatment of animals. And then you get in there and you get craziness. They go too far. These Kentuckians for Coal, they're protesting the eclipse.
Yeah.
For the love of God, they're protesting the sun and the moon and an astrological event that's been going on for the beginning of time.
Formed.
Shit. Are you kidding me? And is it out nuts?
It is. It hurts. All right, you need to read some or explain some for the listeners because I've already heard a little bit of this and I'm
okay.
Just,
well, so anyway, Kentuckians for Coal. It's a group. They've gotten together and they're going to protest at Hopkinsville, one of the sites of the main, the total eclipse. And 100% eclipse.
Yeah.
It says it's an ad hoc coalition of miners, union officials, family members, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're against encroachment from renewable energy industries and from economic development incentives aimed at lessening America's dependence on coal. What a mission statement.
That's horrible. It's like, okay, I want to keep... going a mile underground and risking my life and getting black lung and
being dependent upon this
industry that nobody really wants anymore.
It's like I'm against progress. I'm against anything progressive. It's so fucking selfish. I mean, I get it. If you're a miner, you don't have a lot of skills. It must be scary seeing your industry change. But hell, I mean, it's gone. It's happened through all of history.
And their industry has become so mechanized, so automated. You know, like when our grandfathers were underground, you know, they had a shovel and a pick and a bucket and, you know, and a little cart on a track that hauled coal out. And over the years, it's gotten more and more and more automated. And the big seams have gone away. Now they can't even stand up. They have to crawl and crouch and, you know, just scurry like bugs underground. It's got to be a miserable existence.
Oh, it's got to be hell.
And somehow it's been sold to these poor people that this is somehow noble.
Well, they have to do that to a point. I mean, themselves, you have to sell yourself on that to do the job you just described.
Yeah.
So when you say they've been sold on it, they've sold themselves on it. We've seen psychology studies that once you make a decision to do something, do something, that you will try to justify your decision, even if you were like wishy-washy or you thought even maybe it was the wrong decision at first.
Once it's made, you're going to find reasons to stick with it.
So that's why that's happened.
But I mean, it's a group mentality too in this area. It's really...
It is.
Some kind of brotherhood of coal.
You know, and I try to think, like, you know, it's easy for us to say, I mean, we're in real estate now. We were in the medical field. I was in a medical field where, you know, it's just not going to go away. It's high paying jobs.
Well, it's not
very
anymore.
Skilled. But, you know, what about when blacksmiths lost their jobs to cars?
Yeah.
Did they freak out? Did they go out and protest the eclipse of 1907?
Did they
go crazy? Because, oh my God, we can't have cars.
Because I have to make horseshoes.
We have to keep horses. These damn cars are just going to ruin America. You just got to evolve.
It's been politicized. I don't know if it's been politicized in the past the way this has. I think we have more access to media and news and propaganda than we did 100 years ago.
Well, I don't know, but I just find it odd.
Yeah.
And people like this it just irks me. It just irks me. And I hate that they're fellow Kentuckians and coal miners, but anyway, here's a press release. According to a press release, Kentuckians for Coal, quote, stands against the eclipse and those who worship it, end quotes. We stand against the eclipse
and those who worship it.
That is
what I get. Like, I'm sorry, these are the same dumbasses, and I'm just going to say it. I'm going there. Okay, I'm gonna just bitch about it.
Well, they are. These are dumbasses.
Dumbasses that are going to the Ark in Kentucky and taking their kids to learn about how, you know, 3,000 years ago there was a big flood and all the animals on the earth got on the boat, and it never rained before. Nobody else had any idea to make a boat.
I knew that sentence would get you.
Oh.
When I read it, I was like, I can't wait to read that to Petra.
Dumbasses.
The coalition claims that the eclipse's attraction of many visitors to Hopkinsville will, quote, further test the patience of both local residents and the extra law enforcement brought in to maintain order, end quotes.
Because, you know, people who are looking at an eclipse are, like, really fucking rowdy.
Right.
What the hell?
Right. They think they're going to riot or something over this eclipse. I mean, what do they think's going to happen?
They're idiots, Hank. They're idiots.
Jeez, oh, Pete, that is just the most dumb group of idiots I've ever heard.
We just can't say enough bad about this. Like, I apologize for our state.
So they're going to protest in Hopkinsville at some area where other people are going to be watching this, you know, at what any other normal human being that once in a lifetime you get to see something cool. Yeah, they're going to be over there.
Maybe they'll all look up and go blind.
You're a bunch of sun worshipers. You're devil worshipers.
Who knows?
And then the cool thing with this eclipse, yeah, our cavemen ancestors, hunter-gatherers back 40, 50,000 years ago, man, they must have freaked out.
And then they figured out how to track these things and predict them.
No doubt.
I mean, how?
That's some complicated shit.
Yeah.
When you start really thinking about it, when you start reading any kind of science book and realize who came up with these formulas at first and these principles, and you're like, dude.
And how old that stuff was.
Yes. I was thinking about it the other day. The shit that we learned in, like, physics in college. Like the optics, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about those friction and Archimedes' principle. You know,
it's Archimedes. I mean, that's ancient history.
Yeah, shit, you're trying to figure out on an equation that somebody's teaching you
with a calculator,
and still it's hard. And this dude came up with it from scratch, 500 years ago, or however long, for some of these people.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't know when.
I just threw his name out.
More like 3,000. No. It was BC, so it was 3,000 years ago, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just talking about in general. Some of these things are way complicated shit that they have figured out. And it's hard for me to figure it out now.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn impressive.
It is. It is. And I think something I've been seeing a little bit more frequently on online, kind of debunking a myth. Like, people in the Middle Ages didn't think the earth was flat. Like, literally everybody who had any education whatsoever from about ancient Greece on knew the earth was round. That was common knowledge.
You know, I think I've seen that on one of those Watch Mojo videos, like commonly facts that you think are facts, but really not kind of things.
That makes me feel even worse about people that we know who think the world is flat.
I know. I know.
It makes me feel even worse.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I just found it interesting that we've got a total eclipse coming, and it's just going to be, it's going to be fun. We're going to get to see 90% here.
Yes.
It's going to be 90% covered. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and we don't have to go anywhere. That's kind of awesome.
We don't have to go out and protest the eclipse.
Well, something else that I don't know, people could be protesting, but I don't understand why. I think this is a great win. And I have never been a huge fan of Taylor Swift's music.
You don't like the old, what is it?
Shake it off.
Shake it off.
What is that what it's called? Shake it off? I don't know.
What she says a million times.
Yeah, it's the biggest earworm ever. Like, how in the... Did she just sit down and intentionally create an earworm?
I don't know, but it's in there.
It is.
I even know the chorus of it, for God's sakes. I never listened to that
stuff. Everybody does. Everybody does, because it was ubiquitous for a while. But anyhow...
What's been up with
Swift? I have to say that I do admire her for this lawsuit.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Taylor Swift now.
Actually, all right. The story as I am following it, she was at an event, like a fan event, and a DJ in Denver.
Okay.
Aggressively groped her butt during a picture op. Like, you know, you're smiling for the camera and somebody's grabbing your butt behind you.
Man, and the balls on this guy to do that to a celebrity out in public. Like, why would you even do that anywhere, frankly? But in that situation, it's Taylor Swift. It's not like some random girl.
Why would you do that to any girl?
Oh, I agree.
All right. I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I did
like
to
you've opened up the can here. All right. When I used to go to trade shows and conferences, the reason a lot of women wear a blazer and suffer through the heat is so that we can put our hands in our pocket and put our arms out so men can't come up and grab our arm and grab a grope of side boob.
Good side boob.
It's unbelievable. Like, this has been 15 years ago, but serious, like, you would get groped by, quote, professional men, men that you knew. Like, like this is their chance to cop a feel.
Yeah.
So you literally would wear a blazer, keep your hands in your pocket to keep your arms out, and it's almost like you've got like armor, like
nice.
You just have to like knock them off.
Use your ninja powers.
That's ridiculous.
It is stupid.
That is ridiculous. So like, yay for her standing up. Like, at first, she just had her mom manager, you know, call the station and report this.
Yeah.
So he got in trouble for it. So he turns right around and sues her.
Dang.
For it.
Okay.
So she countersues for $1.
Oh, okay.
So it went to court.
Mm-hmm.
And the jury found him guilty of assault.
Okay.
Like, they had some photographic evidence.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there was right. There had to
all
be something.
Kinds of stuff yeah. going on here. But God bless her for finally standing up.
Good for
because
her.
It's so hard to be believed. Like, you listen to my story, and you know me well enough to know that I'm not making that up.
No.
Like, this stuff happens.
I believe you.
But it's so shoved under the rugs, and a female boss showed me how to do that. Like, mm-hmm. we would take, like you would take care of younger women coming in
yeah.
to this field and working here. But it was something that the men never really got, never really understood. And if you actually had a decent male boss that you could count on, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But like lots and lots of times, you saw your male colleague or male boss over there, groping another female. I mean, it's just,
yeah, it's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And yay for a celebrity. I mean, and I hate it that happened to her. Okay.
Right.
I do. I think, I mean, it's shocking when it happens and you feel so violated and so worthless and dirty and you don't know, like, what to do about it. And thankfully she had her mother, who was a manager there, that could help her handle this. And she stood up for all women. I'm kind of becoming an old Taylor Swift fan there, just for that.
Well, good. I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Here's some of the pictures of, excuse me, got a bug in my throat. This is one of the pictures from the guy drawing her in court.
They're awful, aren't they?
He says she's, quote, too pretty to draw properly. That's his excuse. What a great excuse. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Well, there's one picture that's a little bit better down there. That one is.
That one's recognizable.
Yeah.
Look at that one.
That's kind of horrible.
They are funny. I mean, you're a sketch person. Yeah.
And I mean, bless his heart. Like, he's literally.
These are like, I want to say cartoon pictures, but of course, any sketch of a court thing looks cartoonish. But this looks like some of those pamphlets that they distributed in the 70s.
About don't do drugs.
Yes. Yeah. Right? I mean, it looks like just a total generic. They're not good whatsoever. So, yeah, that's his. That's a poor guy's excuse. Taylor Swift is, quote, too pretty to draw properly. That's funny. Oh, well. So you got that going on.
Yeah. I want to read this. This is great. This is just. This is an example of such extreme, like, victim blaming here. The guy, Mr. Mueller's lawyer, showed a picture here. And let's see. He says, he asked if her face, if Miss Swift's face in that instant is consistent with somebody who had been groped. Like, she didn't react enough. Like, that is what they were arguing. Holy crap.
That's crazy.
Oh, I mean, it is. We're going to put this on, you know, the Twitter feed and our show notes and all. But like, it is kind of an infuriating article to read.
Well, speaking of that, where can they find us?
Oh, at hillbillynerdtalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you can follow Hank on Twitter. And I have Pinterest boards, and I'm very active on there. And Hank has Hillbilly Nerd Talk. Facebook.
Yeah. I'm more active on Twitter than Facebook, but once in a while, if you send me a message, I'll respond. someday.
Ooh. I haven't been on Facebook in forever. I'm just no.
I know. We're just in a bit, you know, we're in a cycle right now of like our business is doing phenomenal. Are you done with Taylor?
Yeah.
I think that's great. Good for her. I'm with you.
I do too. I mean,
nobody deserves that. And
no. And it is so hard when something like that happens. It is so embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what to do about it. And
by now, guys should like there's some, maybe there's some, I don't know. I try to make not make excuses for everybody, but maybe there's a few old men that just don't know what they're doing. They're just whatever, dumb. But by now, anybody ought to know. You just don't fucking touch anybody unless you're somehow on a romantic,
unless
whatever,
you're invited,
or you
it's
shake
consent.
Hands. You
it's
know,
consent.
Yeah, or you shake somebody's hand. But for the love of Pete, just don't go touching people without some sort of invitation. That's a great way to put it. Something, I don't know.
It's I think maybe it's always been like this. But I think we're talking about it now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I've described some events that happened to me when I was a younger woman. And it's really hard to know how to react to some of these situations.
Yeah, and yeah, I can see that.
Just like...
I'm sorry you have to go through it.
If she says no, take her word for it. And don't kill her for it.
Well, and some of this stuff is just, I don't know, it's just common sense, you know, just, but some people
you're
don't
a
have,
good
but,
dude.
But some people don't have common sense, so yeah. I don't know, anyhow, but anyway, I was getting ready to say, no, we've just been busy,
yeah,
and we've just hit a stride right now, and I can tell you right now, anybody that gets, when you get a groove going in life, you better take advantage of it, when the cosmic tumblers all fall into place. And you're working maybe who knows? You may be working 50, 60 hours a week, but you don't feel like it.
Because it's just such a good groove.
Yeah, you're in a groove and you're getting things done and you're progressing toward your goals. I'm telling you, you better ride that wave till it crashes on the beach.
Yes.
Because sooner or later, then you're going to fall back to whatever. But and there's just some magical opportunities in life sometimes. And if you miss them, or you miss your chance to really go for it, you're just going to regret it forever.
You know what? And I really do believe this. I'll be 45 this year. The things I regret in life are nothing that I did. It's what I didn't do. Like it's the missed opportunities. It's I should have done this. I should have done that. It's nothing that I did. And you know, I haven't lived a scandalous life. I've never been to jail, but
I've done that.
But that even that is memorable. You know, it's.
Well,
I don't regret anything I've done.
Well, our businesses are our business in real estate. We've been able to buy a large portfolio of property. And it is just hitting its stride right now. We've made some improvements.
And you are just going like a locomotive
right
now.
Yeah, we've made improvements. Therefore, we've attracted more renters. And it's just a daily, you know, showing somebody property, signing leases, doing business with people, making long-term relationships. I'm talking renters that are – we've had renters sign 10-year leases.
Yeah, yeah.
10-year leases, $4,000 a month.
That's unbelievable.
That's fucking unbelievable. I mean, you wrap your head around that. Now,
before anybody thinks that we're rich, we're still paying a hell of a mortgage.
You're damn right.
But we're able to make those payments without, like, hawking our cars or anything like that. Not that we can get much for them. But, you know, I feel like we have room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're busy, but right now I feel like there's no elephant on my chest. I'm not like sweating how we're going to pay these bills or those bills or, and honestly, the first 3 months of this year, yeah, I worried about that. I stayed awake at night.
Well, yeah. And, you know, there's a podcast I've listened to on real estate investing. I've listened to several.
Uh-huh.
But I got to say, one thing that has stuck with me through with one of them in particular, the dude keeps saying, look, if you're basically, if you're poor or if you're just struggling or just starting whatever, and you have your first investment piece of property.
Uh-huh.
And you buy this piece of property for $100,000, and you run the math, and your mortgage payment is whatever, $700 a month. You've got a renter that pays $1,000 a month, and then you pay your insurance, and it balances out, and it's paying for itself. His point is, when you get to the millions of dollars of portfolio, he's saying, really, it's exactly the same thing. You're just adding some zeros.
Yeah.
You think about that. Instead of your $100,000 mortgage you're worried about, you add some zeros, you're talking about $1 million mortgage.
Yeah.
Or whatever. If you can go higher than that, maybe it's a $20 million mortgage if you ever get to that point.
I don't know. You probably wouldn't mind that right now, but
the point is, that's what we're doing, though.
I mean,
but that is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're adding zeros. It's the same thing. You're looking at your expenses and your income, and it's all the same thing. That being said, it won't be long. We're on a 5-year plan. We're going to have fuck you money again, where we can just tell the world, fuck off. Everything's paid for.
Yeah.
If the zombie apocalypse happens, we've got our property paid for. No bank can take it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because to get these giant loans, you've got to gamble everything.
Yeah, you do. They do not let you.
I mean, unless you had the collateral, which we didn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we had enough property that we had accumulated. But everything we'd accumulated up to this point.
Yeah.
Is on the line for this next step. If you're going to take that next step, there's sooner or later, you've got to
leap. It's not even a step. It's a leap.
Yeah. A calculated, I don't even want to say a risk, but a very calculated move in life to get positioned 1 or 5 notches higher than you were. And all kinds of stuff. And it's not even just all financial. I love talking to these people, meeting new people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm chalking out parking lots and screwing letters on doors, and I'm on roofs. I'm doing all kinds of goofy shit.
Screwing letters on doors?
Yeah, you know, just taking a little metal number and screwing it on the door for our apartments that don't have numbers on them.
Oh, okay. That sounded mildly dirty.
I'm sorry. I'm not having sex on the door with numbers.
With a letter? What the hell? Sorry. Where did that? Sorry.
I have no
idea. I'm broken.
You're a dirty, dirty girl.
I am.
Oh, well.
He's sitting on the edge of my seat because Chairman Meow is taking up all the seat.
Yeah, I've got a story related to your dirty mind.
Oh, okay. Good.
Here, write this down in your notes.
All right.
Number one, cookies. You'll like these. They're kind of like, Ruby Waffles.
Oh, God.
You made me Ruby Waffles.
I wish you would quit doing that. I want to scratch you.
I love that little kid, Philip. It's on that.
I think you are Philip.
Philip from F is for Family. If anybody has not seen that show on Netflix, God, go immediately watch that. If you grew up in the 70s, it's a cartoon satirized version, but they're not that far off.
No, they
charts.
Just cuss more than my family. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
Besides
yeah.
that, the rest of it is kind of what it's like growing up in the 70s.
I mean, it's awkward watching it. It is really kind of like they've got this family, and we're like,
that's a great
show. I'm sorry, we just got to go F is for Family here a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's Bill Burr, isn't it?
Yeah.
And anyhow, they've got the family, and they're the main center of attraction for this crazy cartoon. Did everybody have, like, some abused, neglected kid neighbors that were, like, so abused that the 5-year-old was still in diapers?
Yeah,
and ran around? I mean, was
yes.
that? I mean, it's a freaking stereotype. I mean, we're sitting here watching this going, oh my God, we had those neighbors and both of us did. And we're,
and they're making fun
appalled.
Of it, but the, like the whole several things in there.
Yeah.
Like Bill Burr, well, the main character of the show, like discouraging his daughter from doing any kind of math because girls can't do that kind of stuff.
And his daughter's just like, I want to be in the computer club.
Yeah.
And like Bill Burr discouraging his wife from like having a career and going to work. And it's like, I remember my dad kicking mom's bumper as she drove to school. Like she went back to school and was, and he was so frustrated because he just wanted her to stay home and cook and clean.
Right. Well, that's what, yeah. And that's why this show is funny, because it is making fun of that time period, but damn, it's accurate.
It hits way close to home.
It's very accurate.
Bravo. And what's his name? Philip?
Little Philip.
You just love Little Philip, and Little Philip is like, I just curled up in a ball and waited for him to quit hitting me.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, he's such a wuss.
Yeah, well, everybody had that. Everybody had some kid that was so wimpy that you just wanted to beat him up. Or you wanted to beat him up, even if you're not a bully.
Make him tougher or like something.
That's
terrible. Like, you shouldn't do that. But then Philip is, like, as a girl, I'm like, oh, you need to suck it up a little bit. Like,
see?
Even the girls are kind of like, oh, this is too bad.
Oh, well. So anyway,
it's very delicate.
So instead of Love You Waffles, this lady made she bought these numbers.
Uh-huh.
This is a baking set of numbers here.
Okay.
This is off my Twitter page, so you can get the article from the link there.
Okay.
All right.
Can I make a guess?
You want a guess?
Are they penis cookies?
They may be. That's a great guess. Why would you think that just from looking at number cookie cutters? You see penises in them?
Because there is a head on the one and mm-hmm. cock and balls. I mean, it's
okay.
Like, I think if you had thick cookies, that they would warp and be dirty.
And be
not ones.
You don't think they would turn into ones?
No, I think they'd be
turn into little dildos?
Yep. So what are they like?
Well,
dun 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 dun.
Ta-da! How about a whole baking rack full of little
dicks? There's like 40 dicks.
Blue for some reason.
Blue balls.
Yeah, blue balls, blue dicks.
Yes.
Whole cookie tray of them.
That is so fabulously bad.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
She has some tradition. See, there's her number fours.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, when her kids turn a certain, like on their birthday, I guess.
She makes cookies for their fourth birthday or cookies for their third birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of get that. It's kind of like having the candle on the cake.
Exactly. Well, apparently, I don't know when she started this, but apparently one of her kids turned 11. So
he had double dicks.
So he baked all the dick cookies that you could
and
ever
if
want
you're
to
11,
eat.
Whether you're a girl or a boy, at this point, you've seen a drawing of a dick somewhere.
Oh, you know what? I'm saying this wrong, actually. There was, actually, it's one. They have a little kid who's one.
Oh, gosh.
So the one-year-old doesn't know.
No, that I would totally, if it were toddlers, I would have it at their party. And I would snicker with the other moms if my other moms were cool.
Right.
Well, I'm going to assume they are, since this actually is on the internet. Because if it was just, if they weren't cool, they'd just dump them in the garbage and.
Yeah. This all became any kind of a story whatsoever because of her husband snickering about this, of course.
Uh-huh.
And then telling her that, look, you know you baked a whole cookie sheet full of penises, right? and so he took a picture and put it on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, it kind of went viral. And so,
yeah.
And so, yeah, now she says that, no, I'm going to give these to my kid because if you see a penis, you see a penis. If you see number one, you see number one.
And they're babies. It's going to be a number one to them.
Yeah, right. It's a right. So, well, I think she's, yeah. So there you go. I thought that was a cute little story about the number
That's
one.
Funny.
And that goes back to Philip with the, my daddy makes me love you waffles.
My mommy makes me dick cookies.
Exactly. yeah. She turned her kid into a little Philip.
How about that? Your wife is so dirty-minded, she figured that out already. I didn't even have to see a picture.
Yep, you knew where, you did. You knew where that one was going, didn't you?
Well, I am so used to, like, Pinterest fails.
Right.
All right. But not on Pinterest. I mean, in real life. I've tried to make fancy pancakes. I can't even make a round pancake. Like, you make great pancakes. Mm. I can screw up pancakes. Like, just not patient enough or something. I don't know what it is. I'm just not good with pancakes. If I try to make a fancy, like a Minnie Mouse pancake or something, it's just destined to failure.
Smiley face. Anybody can do that.
No, I really can't, Hank.
Cute.
I really suck at this. It's bad. Grandma tried. She really did.
Well, you're better at stringing beans, apparently. They beat you for that if you didn't do that right.
I got my butt tore up, and you had to do it again. And it's really harder to do it when they're already broken.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll try again. We'll get some more beans.
Yeah.
But tell them how I made my beans. Did you like that? All right.
I did. First of all, it's hillbilly enough stringing beans and picking beans and all that. But now
then when your wife puts a can of treat meat and an onion in it.
Treat meat is the armor version of Spam. It's basically Spam.
I like treat meat. No, I prefer treat meat.
It's very similar.
I have a preference.
Sad. Just sad. You know.
I also like bologna.
That is kind of what it's like. It's like a different brand of hot dog. But yeah, treat, Spam, but most people know it as Spam.
Treat meat.
Treat meat.
That's what's in the beans. Treat meat and an onion.
Treat meat and an onion.
You just cut it up really, really fine, little tiny cubes.
Like I say, it tastes pretty good. Except, like I said, you just got to have a little napkin beside of you to pick the strings out.
I had a bite and I was like, tastes good, but
yeah, that's how it goes. Oh, well, you got one more. We got a wedding story, right?
Another lawsuit. This was a week of lawsuits. And this one also, I like the verdict on this. This is from The Washington Post.
Very good. Washington Post. Who wrote it?
All right.
I didn't tell mine.
Avi Selek.
Good job.
S-E-L-K, I guess. I don't. Avi, I don't. I'm probably butchered that name. Sorry.
I shouldn't have asked.
All right.
It's from The Washington Post, damn it.
From The Washington Post.
You can look up who wrote it even on your own.
All right. This one is a convoluted little story. Okay. There's a couple.
Oh, I like stories. Tell me a yarn.
In downtown Dallas, Texas.
Nice.
That hired a wedding photographer.
Okay.
And then they didn't fulfill their end of the contract. Like
the couple didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the photographer didn't release their high definition pictures,
prints.
You know, yeah. I don't even think it was prints. I think it's the digital, like high def digital stuff. Like until everything is done, the photographer doesn't release those. And I understand why.
Probably specifically getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Exactly. Like as business people, we kind of get this.
Yeah.
And then these people in Dallas, one of them who happens to be a beauty blogger, takes to social media.
Okay.
So they trash the wedding photographer over $125 fee, and now they owe the wedding photographer $1 million. They put the photographer out of business.
Well, you know what? Good. I think good.
I do too.
They'll
I do
owe
too.
$2 million.
Well, and it's a her. All right. Let's see.
Yeah, and we are business people, so yeah, my knee-jerk reaction is to side with the business person. I don't know all the details, but I will say, before you tell me all of it, if it basically was, you know, they signed papers and she was supposed to pay X amount, $1,000, and she only paid $900 until he is fully paid, absolutely, he shouldn't release a damn one of them.
I agree. All right. The the Daily Mail said wedding photographer holds couple's pictures hostage.
Oh, God.
It's the Moldovans. Their sympathizers descended on the photographer Andrea P. I don't know how to say her last name. Andrea's review pages, calling her a scam artist, and just basically they blew up how horrible she was on any kind of review pages, Yelp, everything else.
Who has her time reputation for that bullshit was ruined. By the way, I mean, who has time to sit there and go through every Facebook and Twitter and Yelp and every rating thing in the world? If you're just that vindictive, first of all. That's crazy.
It wasn't just them. All right, she was a beauty blogger and had a large following of young women.
Okay, so I'm
who had
not
time
just her, but a whole.
These are people who don't even know.
She
like,
told her minions.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if we were telling our minions to go trash somebody and over, and they just heard our side of the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, but Andrea sued the Moldovans, claiming all they ever had to do to get their glossies was fill out a form, choose the options for their wedding album, and pay a small charge that they'd known about all along.
Yeah,
like it was part of a multi-page contract, and we don't even understand this because our wedding photographer was a guy that was renting from us at the time.
Yeah, we traded a month's rent for our wedding pictures.
Yeah. And it wasn't even a super expensive apartment or anything like that. It was just, and I mean, and we didn't go crazy. We didn't have engagement photographs and photographs at any kind of rehearsal dinner or anything like that. Ours was very low key, but oh my gosh. All right. The photographer showed the court emails in which she and her employees had tried to appease the couple. Even as
Very
they
good.
Were calling reporters and whipping up a big story on social media and plugging.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's awful. All right. A jury in Dallas decided that the tale of the ransomed wedding photos wasn't heartbreaking. It wasn't even true. Like she just kept posting. And there's a trail of this, like where she was posting on Twitter and posting on Facebook and, you know, her blog and just, you know, blowing this up. And he was too. Both of them like went to town on this.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's some quotes down here that were really good.
Well, you know, we had a local guy in our town that was basically started trashing everybody in town. He had a failing business.
Yeah.
And it was nobody's fault but his own that his business was failing.
Yeah.
But he started lashing out wild conspiracy theories, accusing our elected officials of bribery and some sort of a weird, you know, hazard Illuminati that a group of people will never let anybody else succeed. It's that weird blame somebody else to the nth degree. It's the same situation on a small scale.
Absolutely. But she was like a big time photographer in, you know, Dallas, Texas, and booked, you know, a year in advance for this stuff, and lost her business, lost her savings, lost her retirement savings, closed her studio, people lost their jobs, and finally, she's vindicated, and the court has ordered the couple to pay her $1 million. Like, you know, this article says they're probably going to contest that.
I'm sure.
But she's just happy. Like, this photographer is just happy now that this is making the news, and people understand that she wasn't hoodooing them. This was a part of a multi-page contract. They knew about this all along. All they had to do was finish picking the pictures that they wanted in their wedding album and pay a $125 fee.
People are just insane. And people should know, for the love of God. I know people, you know, people's knee-jerk reaction to this, a lot of it. Well, she has free speech. Doesn't she have free speech? She can say, was this America or not, you know? But no, it's not when your free speech hurts somebody else for no reason.
I think the verdict
slander
was malignant defamation.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, and do you, all right, there was just a trial I saw when we were in Cincinnati and you were out, there was a little bit of a news story running that I paid attention to that was fascinating. No, it's not always free speech. There's a girl, she's 20 years old now, that is going to jail, and I think for 15 years, because she kept texting her boyfriend, who was unstable, until he committed suicide.
I think I've heard of that story, or maybe it's just a different story with the same plot. But yeah, I have.
He shut himself in a truck, like, and sucked on exhaust fumes until he died.
See, I think the one I heard, and I say heard, I'm not talking about urban legend. I mean, I read this somewhere. I think he killed himself with a gun. But anyway, basically, somebody drove a person to kill themselves over just being a bully, frankly. I mean,
that's horrible. And
you know, you could threaten all kinds of, you could threaten people with God knows what. You know, you have some, maybe they're secretly gay or something that they think in their mind they've
constructed. Would just destroy their life if other people knew this.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that is kind of less damaging now than it was 10 or 15 years ago.
I'm just throwing out an example.
But when you're teenagers, everything is so into the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just haven't lived long enough, had enough life experience to realize that it will get better. I mean, teenagers are so delicate, and we should watch out for them, and they should watch out for each other. But, God, we're just not developed enough at that point to always understand that.
Well, I love that story, and you're right. That I totally, I mean, I don't see anything in there that would sway me or anybody with a lick of common sense.
It's just horrible. This is a person who had a media platform and had kind of a built-in following. And it's really kind of sad because the photographer, even like before the shoot, was making sure that all of her employees knew, hey, she's a beauty blogger. We have to make sure everything is just right. You know, they knew going into it and just had no idea it would be this vicious and vindictive. And, you know, there's been a big brouhaha. Like, I watch YouTube videos. I mean, I love YouTube makeup videos, but lately it has gotten kind of mudslinging and bad. Like the different YouTube personalities.
More negative stuff than just show me how to put my makeup on. You don't have to say a bunch of negative shit.
Exactly. Well, all right. There was a new makeup palette that came out, and probably about 70% of the people hated it really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And about 30% of the people love it, really, really love it. And I already bought it because I thought the colors were beautiful. And you got to be careful using it because it is dusty. Like, mm-hmm. it's very pigmented. But you can, and it's beautiful, unique colors that I wouldn't know where to get anywhere else. And it doesn't seem to bother me.
Yeah.
My eyelids right now, I have allergies. So I'm happy with it. I fall on the, I'm happy with that palette side. But they get on there and say, well, somebody says blah, blah, blah. And I think they're being paid by the company. I mean, they're all just like being.
If they don't like it, they just can't comprehend that somebody else might like it.
Or they're getting on there and they do like it. And they're like, well, they just jumped on the bandwagon to everybody else that hates it. And like very few are just saying, well, I know some people don't like this, but I do. Or I know some people do like this, but I don't.
Well, that's a little better. And that's what reviews are. I mean, I guess you get right down to it. Like a movie review, you're basically saying, I hate this movie. But there's, for lack of a better word, there's classy ways to say it.
Yes.
Instead of my cup of tea, maybe it's your cup of tea. But I don't think the acting was very good and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah, this movie's stupid, and anybody that watches it's an idiot, and blah. You know, you can just.
But it's been
soften your language a little bit with these reviews.
It's weird. There's the beauty gurus on YouTube, and then there's like this underclass of like gossip people that make videos that are gossiping about the beauty gurus, and it's ridiculous. Like, it's kind of running me off of YouTube. I'm just getting tired of it.
Oh, there's nothing else on YouTube but makeup videos. You got to get off YouTube.
Well, that's what I've been. I'm flipping Hank the Bird right now. Like, there's a visual for everybody. That's what I spend my free time, girl time on. And, you know, and it's always been an enjoyable little hobby for me. Hell, I even went to cosmetology school.
Nice.
But it's really just so catty right now. And yes, I know there's other YouTube videos, but I don't always want to watch fail videos, Hank.
Come on. What's the matter with you?
Right with the devil. Drinking to do that.
Right with the devil. Blah, 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 blah.
That was weird. You want to tell everybody about why you just did that?
I had an old fraternity reunion as one of my fraternity buddies. That was our greeting.
You do this little hand gesture like you have horns on your forehead.
Yeah, with your index and pinky finger, and you tuck your other two fingers in. You know, everybody, yeah. That was a horn sign.
Yeah, and you put it on your forehead, and you say, what, rod with the devil?
Rod with the devil. Blah, 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 blah.
And Hank's just like, just let you know, when I see this guy, he's going to do this. I haven't seen him in 20 years, but I'm pretty sure he's going to do this. Well, you know, here comes this guy walking in. He's very well dressed. He's got on a polo, khaki shorts and all. Looks very, very respectable and everything. He lights up when he sees Hank, and he's like, run with the devil! Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I know who that is.
I'm glad you were able to share my ride with the devil.
It's funny when you have... talked about this. When you have your college stories, like, you're confirmed by somebody else.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah. Well, I ran into somebody that went to school after I did. When I was talking to this guy, yeah. And he was like, oh, my God, you were one of those Zetas. Like, I was for a short time in a sorority. And we were like crazy girls, and like, he knew about us. It's kind of funny.
That's awesome.
That was kind of funny. We were crazy girls.
Well, we were crazy guys.
Yeah.
But harmless.
Us too. We didn't do anything.
You know, just like any fraternal organization, just like adult organizations, like the Elk or the Moose or the Shriners. You know, it's people that get together and want to socialize. Usually there's some alcohol involved, because that's just how you socialize as an adult.
Socialize. Yeah.
but then you also do a lot of charity work to basically, I don't want to say to make up for your debauchery, but you know, it certainly,
you know, it's a good, it teaches young people charity work.
It's certainly
really
a part of it. Yeah. I'm not saying it's, you're doing that to make up for it, but it's definitely a part of fraternal organizations that most people don't see that often.
Yeah.
Even our fraternity at Moorhead, we did a ton for that town.
Yeah.
And when you get a little town with a college with six or seven fraternities or sororities,
it's amazing what they will do for the community.
They kind of need to
make up for all of the things that
college students do. Right. That ought to make up for the police coming by every Thursday to tell them to hold the noise down, boys.
Yeah.
Got a complaint from the neighbors again.
Yeah.
It hopefully balances out.
I think my funny police story, one time we were walking to... like kind of like a fraternity house that we were very close with, and we knew all these guys. It wasn't anything dangerous, but like three of us are walking in our sweatshirts. They're bright colored and all that. And there's one girl all in black, and she sees the police car pulling over to the side. He didn't have his lights on or anything. She goes running into the bushes, and they're like, what are you girls doing? I'm just checking on us because it's dark. It's late. It's the middle of the night.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, hey, we're going to such and such house to steal their pledge paddles. And they're like, be careful while you're doing that, okay? I was like, okay.
Harmless enough.
They knew that we did this silly stuff. It wasn't anything... You know, I don't think we ever did anything destructive.
Yeah, I'm not sure we really did either. It was just, loud parties.
Yeah.
Drinking too much. stuff like that.
And I know it bugs the neighbors, but seriously, like those houses at that point had been there a generation. So if you didn't want to live, and they were all together, like all of our fraternity houses were together and all the sororities were on campus.
Mm-hmm. This is like that movie we've seen. There's two of them now with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Where the house and what is the name of that movie?
It's not Old School.
Well, anyway, the point is what you're saying is right. It's not like that movie.
Where neighbors.
Neighbors.
It's neighbors. Yeah.
Where you buy a house and then a fraternity moves next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, our fraternity was the same situation. We've been on that campus since the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
The dude that bought that house bought it in the 80s. He knew what the hell he was moving next to, for the love of God.
Yeah, you just really can't.
I mean, at some point, you know what you're moving
I
next to.
I feel bad for somebody that had the house when the fraternity moved in. But back then, I'm going to guess they probably kept it a little bit quieter, too.
This guy at Moorhead lived into his 90s.
Yeah.
And there is no doubt in my mind that part of him living that long
was spite
for my fraternity. There is no doubt. I mean, he would call the police literally every single Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the entire time I was ever there. It was just a routine thing that the police were going to drive by starting at about 11 o'clock, just drive by real slowly.
Yeah.
The president of the fraternity would come out. Hey, officer, how you doing? Hey, you know, what's going on, Danny? Well, it's Thursday night. You know the deal. Got to tell you to turn the music down. Okay, see you later.
Yeah, and everybody knows he's going to come back by later.
Right. It was literally just a routine. And that old dude, I don't know if it was his real name, but I think it was. His name was Ogie.
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 Okay, that's kind of an awesome name.
It's an old man name. I like it. And Ogie, like, if he would have halfway been nice to us, we tried, honestly, as a fraternity.
To do anything you could to be nice to the
neighbor. We tried to mow his yard. We did mow his yard. He made a stop. Like, he got mad because we mowed his yard. No purring.
I think there might be some purring.
That's our pig cat grunting. That's Chairman Meow.
Pig cat.
They did pick up a little bit.
Well, good. Good.
Yeah. Anyway, no, we tried to anything. I don't know. We had an apple tree on the place at one time. We picked him a bunch of apples. Like, we tried everything to be nice to that dude. Offered to paint his house. Offered all kinds of stuff. He just totally was that noise. That noise on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night was just too much.
He bought a house and moved beside of a fraternity house.
Mm-hmm. And even like things like we had a volleyball court at one time. Of course, once in a while, the ball is going to go into your neighbor's place.
Yeah.
It just is. And he had a fence around there, a chain link fence. So if the ball goes into his place, you got to go get it.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to, but I mean. But anyway, he'd call the police in that situation too, say we were trespassing. And the police would come around like, so you're saying the volleyball went in your backyard and they went over the fence to get it. That's what we're talking about here. Like even the police were at some point like, really, old man, you think you could chill the fuck out?
You know, we really didn't have an asshole neighbor like that because I think it would have been like neighbors. I think it would have been war. Like, I think it would have been anything you could possibly do to torment the old guy.
Well, and that's where it got to be with this guy a little, because when I was there, there was this kind of, like, we all knew, you know, you try to make peace with the people mm-hmm. in the community. You don't mm-hmm. want trouble. You just want to do your thing.
No, you don't.
But then, you know, it kind of came a split because then some people to the point, you know, you got high school kids, guys mm-hmm. in college, in a fraternity, and you got this guy across the street who's needling you all the damn time.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot to get some of our fraternity people not to burn the goddamn house down.
I bet. I bet. Because it may be a fraternity, but it is still in the heart of Appalachia, and right. It is still kind of redneck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it would be a half joke. It would be a full joke, because nothing has really happened. But I remember distinctly conversations on our fraternity front porch about what we could do. Like, let's just throw a damn football through his window. That'll fucking teach him. Or just things like that. Like, yeah, what if we just...
Because you're still kind of kids and have a kid brain.
Oh, yeah. And you have to stop some people from doing shit.
Yeah.
You got people that have put sugar down his gas tank if somebody hadn't stopped them bullshit. And they're like, no, you
can't. That's too far.
Too far, dude.
You can't destroy property, but...
You can't spray paint his yard. I remember a thing that we almost did, and this really would have been halfway harmless, was they wanted to take gasoline, not light it on fire, but take gasoline, because it's obviously going to kill gas or kill weeds, anything.
Yeah.
And they wanted to pour it in his yard into our fraternity symbol so the grass would die.
Die in the fraternity symbol.
Yeah, and make the, yeah. I would have went for that, actually. That'd been pretty harmless.
I could have done that, too.
But we didn't do it.
Did you ever put a bag of flaming dog poop on his porch?
No, we just left the dude alone. We had all these grand... It was just like a fantasy of what we could do but we didn't do anything. We just bitched at him, and he bitched at us. That's how it was. Dude lived in his 90s.
Like, we would have, like, photocopied our butts and put them in all the windows. And, I mean, like, there's just, like, stupid, annoying things that we would have done when he called the police, pull them all down, you know, put them back up when the police... I mean, we would have done, like, annoying things...
That would have worked.
...to mess with him.
Oh, well. Tell them one more time where we're at.
We're at hillbillynerdtalk.com.
That's right. Share us.
Yeah. If you like the show, if we were funny tonight, tell somebody about it.
Yeah. Who knows? We may go viral. Like the dick cookies.
All right. I'm going to refrain from saying, like herpes. No, I'm not.
It's too late. It's out there.
It is. All right, everybody. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you next week.